Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you have ever had watershed moments in your life? Moments that have changed your life. Anybody here had watershed moments in your life? Anyone? Thank you. A few. Would you not agree that if you saw an angel, that would be a watershed moment in your life? You know, so our texts today talk about watershed moments. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is the angel's story. And thank you for gathering together to worship, to reflect on Jesus' birth in a very busy time in our lives. Today you will learn a mantra that will help you both in everyday life and in your watershed moments of life. You will learn how Mary's encounter with the angel is similar to the calling or commissioning of Old Testament prophets. And you'll see a modern day commercial that will tug at your heartstrings, yet I feel captures a big chunk of the Christmas message. Can I share part of my life story with you today? Thank you. Let me mention a few brief watershed moments in my life as I thought of it this week. One was being a part of a close-knit, supportive youth group growing up. Out of that group of people came my nudge to go into ministry, which has obviously had a big impact on my life. But it also helped me through anxious teenage years. How many had it all together in your teenage years? Anybody have it all together in your teenage? Thank you very much. Meeting and marrying, getting married to Margot was a watershed moment. The moment she said yes, wow, that was cool. Changed everything. Wouldn't you agree? Marriage kind of changes everything, you know? And then Alex arriving on the scene. How many of you would not agree that children change you? Whether it's your own children or aunts, I mean nieces and nephews, other people's children. I think another important watershed moment in my life was being a part of a small group, a supportive men's group at a difficult time in my life, trying to balance pressures of work as I was getting more and more involved in larger committee work and also balancing family. So I send out a huge thank you to those who were messengers. The people who saw the distress and invited me to the group and nudged me to get involved and jump in. That made a huge difference in my life. So today, I want you to think of watershed moments in your life and either simply reflect on them quietly or share them with the person around you. And then maybe a side question. Were there any messengers in the midst of those watershed moments? Make sense? Go. Say hello to someone around you and share a moment. Thank you. Please stop. Thank you. You can continue those conversations on the way home or in the hall. But it is, I think, helpful for us to pause at time and think about the watershed moments in our lives. Who are the messengers? Who are the angels? Angels are defined as messengers from God. They play an intermediary role between God and people, and they appeared in the early Old Testament stories, seem to fade away a bit, was present in Daniel, but then obviously appear on the scene big time in the Christmas stories. Would you not agree that those first couple chapters of Matthew and Luke are full of watershed moments for people? Now, a question for you. Any idea what is usually the first words out of an angel's mouth?
Don't be afraid.
Thank you. Do not be afraid. Would you be afraid if an angel dropped by, Fran? I think we all would. Do not be afraid. Isn't that reassuring? That when God comes to talk to us, the first words are, do not be afraid. Do you want to know why those are the first words? What's your natural reaction when God drops by? To be afraid. Absolutely, thank you. To shiver and shake. You know, God has come to zap or punish me, yet the very opposite is true. Those words, fear not, God is trying to say, I'm really not such a bad guy or girl or, you know, person. My primary response to you is that of love and grace. Wow. Love and grace. Or as the voice from heaven says, when Jesus comes out of the water at his own baptism, you are my own dear child in whom I am well pleased. Another translation says, you are my beloved. Wow. Now I want you to think for a moment. God doesn't just say that to Jesus. He says that to each of us. Insert your name. Alan, Martha, Mary, you are my own dear child in whom I am well pleased. So I have a mantra for you this Christmas. Does anybody here want to say what a mantra is? Who knows what a mantra is? What's a mantra? Thank you. It's like a chant. Absolutely. It's something you repeat over and over again to yourself. It can be sung, it can be spoken. You want to know why you need to do that? How many of your brains are full of gunk? Negative messages. Mantras help to retrain your brain and put them with positive messages. The one I want to give you today is, listen, because we're going to repeat it, I am a beloved child of God. Do not be afraid. Can we say that, please? I am a beloved child of God. Do not be afraid. Again, I am a beloved child of God. Do not be afraid. Thank you. That's your homework this week. Every day, whether it's when you first get up, when you go to bed, repeat that to yourself at least 5 times. Now, these first 2 chapters of Luke are full of watershed moments. Can anyone tell me what some of the watershed moments are in these first 2 chapters of Luke? Who do the angels appear to? Mary, thank you. So do you not think that was a watershed moment for Mary? Can you think of anyone else that an angel appears to in the first two chapters of Luke? We didn't read it today. Elizabeth, thank you. Old. Have no idea. Okay? So the angel appeared actually to Zechariah in the temple when he was doing his regular duties as a priest, but it did involve Elizabeth. What do you remember what the message was? Absolutely. Elizabeth is going to become pregnant. These first two chapters are full of kids and baby stories, you know? So, wow, those are watershed moments. And when they appear to the shepherds, both Matthew and Luke connect the story of Jesus to the story of Israel. Matthew does it through prediction fulfillment formulas that I mentioned last week. All this happened to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. Isaiah, Micah, whichever one. Anybody here dabble in photography? Any photographers? Thank you. What does double exposure mean? Thank you. You expose the film twice, so you end up with two images, one on top of the other. And Luke uses a much more subtle approach to connect Jesus to the Old Testament and the history of Israel. It's like double exposure. Can anyone here remember the name of the couple in the Old Testament who also had a child when they were very, very old? Thank you, Abraham and Sarah. The people that Luke was talking to knew those stories very well, and they would have jumped into their mind, Abraham and Sarah. Now, Mary's conversation with the angel is very much like a commissioning story in the Old Testament. And these stories had a set pattern. One, the appearance of an angel. Two, being scared out of your wits. No, sorry. Expression of fear or resistance on the part of the recipient. Three, the commissioning, the task at hand. You will bear a son and call him Jesus. Four, an objection. How can I do this since I am a virgin? Jeremiah said, I'm too young. Moses said, I'm a terrible speaker. I can't go and see Pharaoh. And finally, five, a sign to confirm the authenticity of the message. Remember your relative Elizabeth, who was too old to have children, yet this is the sixth month of her pregnancy. For with God, nothing is impossible. Maybe I need to give you some more homework. You didn't realize that I give homework, did you? When you come to church, you didn't realize you were to be given homework? As you were saying that mantra this week, I want you to think, what is God calling or commissioning you to do over this Christmas? What good news of great joy are you to be a part of this Christmas? How are you to spread the message of God's love and grace to the world this Christmas? Let me share with you a few words from the introduction to Luke's Gospel in the New Student Study Bible. It's not new anymore. I bought it 10-12 years ago, but I still like it. The way Luke tells it, events surrounding Jesus' birth resemble a joy-filled musical. Well, how appropriate. We're having a joy-filled musical celebration this afternoon. You get the feeling that when you read his account, that Luke wanted to capture in words the spirit of great joy the angel predicted in 2:10. Among dreary, defeated villagers in a remote corner of the Roman Empire, something climatically good was bursting out. And even now, approximately 2,000 years later, the commemoration of Jesus' birth still gives cause for joy. We eat better during the Christmas season. Anybody like Christmas gatherings? We eat better during the Christmas. We buy gifts for others. We donate to charity. We sing more often. Our feelings of celebration are gentle aftershocks. I love those two words, gentle aftershocks. Reminders of the remarkable moment when God became a human being and lived on earth. And like Mary, Luke is telling us we need to ponder not only the angel's message, but what kind of message is tied up in the life, the birth, life, teaching, death, and resurrection of this baby that we celebrate. Ponder those words. What does Jesus' life mean to you? What is it calling you to do in your neighborhood and the world? Having said that, I found what I am going to show you kind of amazing. Do you ever get the feeling that people out in the world are always, it's all about me, you know, rush, rush, rush. You know, what's it, give like Santa, save like Scrooge, I don't know, all those messages at Christmas. Well, here is a cool, I don't know if it's a commercial, it was a message from WestJet. Their Christmas miracle, giving is better than receiving. And I think it reflects the true message or spirit of Christmas. I realize it's done by a company, but I think it's good news to know that there are other places in the world, even corporations, that believe in that message of giving and helping and serving, and that it's still